What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Live Podcast. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, alongside the Fantasy Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano.
He's Grant Barfield.
I am back, y'all. Grant Barfield's off this week, but I'm back.
Are you getting any sleep?
A little bit. Yeah. A couple hours here and there. I have learned what 3 o'clock in the morning looks like.
Yeah.
Learned that pretty well the last couple weeks.
But, yep.
But yeah, it's good. So, I mean.
Dad life, man.
Thanks to everybody who responded on Twitter, Instagram, whatever. Appreciate all the kind wishes. It's been a blast so far. It's 2 weeks in.
it changes your life. So Matthew, I didn't. Matthew, I've had since what? 4 or 5 back. Matthew's here today because no school, but I didn't go through all of the waking up a million times in the middle of the night. I got in at the good time. I figured I get in like right around 5 years old. We're starting to have some fun with them. Marcus is in the tough spot right now.
Those middle of the night diaper changes, man. They're
but I bet you wouldn't have it any other way.
They're not great, but it's. So far, it has been a rewarding, interesting experience. Like I said, it's just getting started. So
yeah, I know. I know. Congratulations, man.
Thanks. I appreciate that. As mentioned, Grant Barfield is off this week. Matthew's sitting in. I don't know if he has any hot takes on the draft prospects or what have you. But
probably not.
Yeah. But as always, we'll go behind the glass to talk to our faithful producer, Senior Edward L. Murphy, Esquire. Murph, what's up?
Marcus, glad to have you back. I know we were talking
it's
off
good
air
to be back.
That you coming here now is like the mini vacation from live work.
It kind of is
the fun part. You get to come here and talk about the fantasy football and other things.
Yeah, I leave the house. I get to talk to other grown-ups. It's nice. So that's that. Not a lot on the docket today because, it's mid-April, so it's kind of a slow day, but we do have some stuff to talk about. We'll look back at the AAF, which, rest in peace, pour a little bit out for those folks in the AAF. But some of those guys are starting to sign with NFL teams and just kind of picked out a few guys that maybe potentially could make an impact and whether or not they'd be worth some late-round flyers and maybe some waiver wire picks as we get into the season this year. And then rookies to watch. We're going to keep going through that. This week, we're looking at the wide receivers, which this is a very interesting group. We pared it down to 5 guys, but this is a very deep group positionally in this NFL draft. And be interesting to watch where these guys go, what kind of impact they can make, and what we're feeling about those guys as we get closer to the draft and closer to the NFL season. But in the meantime, let's do some news.
Through the news.
As I mentioned, not a whole lot on the news wire right now, but Kyle Shanahan was asked about his group of running backs. There's a whole lot of them there in San Francisco, Santa Clara, the Silicon Valley area, whatever you want to call it. He says they'll define their roles. Fabs, that's not good.
No. I didn't like when they signed Tevin Coleman, and Coleman clearly, to me at least, is the back to own in San Francisco, considering that his best fantasy season came in Atlanta when Shanahan was there, and they were there together. But Breida had flashes last season, and if McKinnon can actually stay on the field, we've seen him produce as well. And it's too bad, too, because Shanahan's offense is really conducive to running back scoring fantasy points, and we've seen it going back to Devonta Freeman, Carlos Hyde. But unfortunately now you're looking at a situation where not one of those three guys can be depended on as more than a flex starter, and even that, I wouldn't draft Coleman as a flex. I'd rather have him as more of an RB4 if you're in a 10-team league. So an unfortunate turn of events there when they went in and signed Tevin Coleman, because now you're looking at a situation where it could be any one of those three guys in any given week.
Are you drafting any of these guys? I know you said Coleman's probably the guy you're leaning towards first. But anything before the 9th round, 10th round, something like that?
Backfield committees give me headaches, man. So and that one there, and it's unfortunate too, again, because the offense is been so running back friendly, but I can't do it. And McKinnon's going to go in the double digit rounds. Breida's going to go in the double digit rounds. Coleman will be the first one off the board, probably going to go somewhere 9th, 10th, 11th round, somewhere around there in a 10-team league. So I am going to probably be fading my 49ers unless I can get Coleman at a bargain basement price.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the thing. It makes me wonder, though, because last year at this time, the 49ers were everybody's favorite sleeper offense, right? I mean, you know, Garoppolo was there. They had signed McKinnon. It looked like, you know, this offense was really going to come around.
Marquise Goodwin.
Obviously, they had a ton of injuries, and that sort of set everything back. Mm-hmm. But now, everybody's healthy again. And even if they have, you know, three running backs that they're cycling from, you know, are we back to thinking that maybe this is an offense we can kind of tap into a little bit this year?
Well, I mean, clearly the guy that everyone is going to want is George Kittle, who, oh, by the way, one of my favorites. He was at WrestleMania, I believe.
Was he in this year, too?
I know. He's a huge.
I know he had that game where he had to, like, rush out of the press conference because he had to get there.
Yep. So he's, I mean, probably top 50 pick. And that's not a shock after what he did this past season, putting up more yards than any tight end has ever had in a single season in National Football League history. So, there's nobody on the roster that is going to be worth more than a late round pick outside of Kittle, right? I mean, Garoppolo,
because quarterback,
he's a QB2,
right?
You know, we talked about the three running backs. I mean, Pettis is still going to go in the later rounds,
right?
So he's not a top 50 pick, and we'll see. You would think they're going to go after a wide receiver in the draft. You would think maybe in the second round. I was on NFL Mock Draft Live yesterday and talking about how I'd love to see Hakeem Butler go to the Niners in the second round, potentially going and make some impact there from a fantasy perspective. But the Niners offense is there's some players that are going to be useful,
right?
Outside of Kittle, but there's not anybody that's going to be drafted relatively high.
Staying in the division, heading down to Arizona, obviously they have the number one pick in the draft, and there's been plenty of speculation about what they're going to do. Most of that speculation is about Kyler Murray. Along those lines, Kyler Murray is headed down to Arizona to visit with the team. The reports are he's bringing his agent. They're going to talk. Now, that leads people to believe he's going to go number one overall, because the only team that can negotiate currently with potential draft picks is the number one overall pick. So that, you know, leads to speculation that it's signed, sealed, delivered. Kyler Murray is going to the desert. The wrinkle in this whole thing, and mind you, this, as we record this, it is April 10th. So, you know, we're still a ways away from the kickoff of week one. But Josh Rosen was present for the start of the Cardinals workout program. I'm going to throw this out here just because we've seen guys like Howie Roseman in Philadelphia talk about how it's important to try to stockpile young quarterback talent. Is there a weird situation where Arizona maybe hangs on to Josh Rosen and then they have a weird quarterback battle when we get to the fall?
No, dude, you don't. We've seen the reports right now, according to several sources, including Peter King, who is pretty tapped in. He considers the Redskins the, quote, favorite in the clubhouse to trade for Josh Rosen. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good fit because Alex Smith, unfortunately, after that awful injury he suffered last season, he's a big question mark. I get it. You know, they bring in Case Keenum, but I mean, Marcus, he's Case Keenum. So if you're looking for a quarterback who could be your franchise signal caller, Rosen would come in. I don't know that he would cost a first round pick. He could end up being a bargain in any kind of trade, but the Redskins are one of those teams that could really use help at that position. And so for me, I'd love to see Josh get an opportunity to go to the Redskins. I think everyone sees now that that Cliff Kingsbury and the Arizona Cardinals are They're digging mm-hmm. Kyler Murray. They're in on Kyler Murray. Kingsbury loves him, loves what he can potentially bring to the offense. The comparisons, of course, to Russell Wilson are never ending. So I'd be more shocked if they didn't trade Rosen, and the Redskins could be that team that comes in there and grabs him maybe during the draft or before the draft.
You talk about Josh Rosen possibly going to Washington, and you know we've seen a number of different places. I know that I was a big Josh Rosen fan last year. I don't know how you felt about him. I mean, he's not going to get drafted fantasy-wise, right? He's going to be a guy that hangs out on the waiver wire. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, is there the potential for Josh Rosen to, I don't know, be, what, a 2QB league guy? I mean, is there a road for Josh Rosen to be on a fantasy roster?
Aside from dynasty, 2QB leagues, I think he's obviously going to get drafted unless it's a smaller league. But the Redskins offensively right now, their number one wide receiver is Josh Doctson.
Right.
Their number two is Paul Richardson. Then you got Trey Quinn, who could be a nice little PPR sleeper. Mm-hmm. We'll see, depending on what the Redskins do. But that's another team that needs a wide receiver. They could be in the market for a wide receiver. Maybe not in the first round. Maybe we'll see. But that team has really been hurt. You know, you lose Jamison Crowder. The fact that Doxson has busted as badly as he has has really hurt them at that position. And you're looking at a run-heavy offense with Darius Geis and Adrian Peterson and Chris Thompson, if he can actually stay healthy, and a team that I don't know that is going to be conducive to solid quarterbacking numbers, because on paper they don't look all that good. And so this is a team that that could be in a little bit of trouble. They're going to want to play ball control. They're going to want to keep the ball out of the hands of their opposing quarterback and keep the ball on the ground. So Rosen, to me, 2QB league, obviously dynasty, that's a no-brainer, but not a whole lot of value there, and it has not at all anything to do with Josh in terms of his skill set. It's more of just the offense around him. The Redskins, they're a team that they're in rebuild mode.
Yep.
You know, they really are, and they have a lot of holes at the wide receiver position in terms of the pass catchers. So I think it would be great for Rosen to go to Washington, or a team that's going to allow him a chance to be the guy, because, I mean, heck, I mean, last year we were talking about this guy, you know, maybe going, you know, the number one overall pick. I mean, right. Who knows? You know, the Giants seem to be interested in him as well at that time. But it would be a good move for him if he's dealt, because then you have Murray, who's got a clear path to the quarterbacking job in Arizona, which I think he would in anyways, even if Rosen's stuck. But I would expect there to be a trade here in the next couple of weeks.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that one. I mean, this is the thing. Literally, we could go to draft day and have Josh Rosen get traded, like, on draft day or something like that. So this thing is still kind of brewing. We'll see what happens, you know. But it's going to be interesting.
Well, I tell you, though, Murray, I'm excited about him, dude, because you know how I get over these rookie quarterbacks who can run. And time and time again, we've seen it proven that these guys make fantasy impacts. And you put him into that offense under Cliff Kingsbury, obviously an offensive-minded head coach. Oh, giddy up, man.
Yeah.
I am excited about it. Like, he's probably going to get overdrafted.
He's going to get overdrafted. So, I would be more excited about it when I see what they do at wide receiver. Just because, you know, I mean, look, I know Christian Kirk was pretty good until he got hurt last year. I know we all love Larry Fitzgerald, but, you know, this is going to be, what, year 17, I think, for him right now.
they could be looking at a wide receiver in the draft as well.
They've got to be looking at a wide receiver in the draft. I mean, Kevin White has, you know, he's there now, but he's proven to be a bust so far. Yeah. So, I mean, as much as we love quarterbacks who can run, yeah, I think there's still a little bit of a ceiling until he gets some playmakers around him who can do something in the passing. Because otherwise, then he's a more accurate Lamar Jackson, I think, actually is the thing. So I love his team. I love his potential. I want Arizona to get him some help. So there we go. And there you go. That's pretty much everything you need to know.
That was the news.
All right. The AAF has come and apparently gone.
It was quick.
It was quick. They did not finish the regular season, and they have ceased operations. I know the talk is they hope that they can maybe restructure and restart next year. But
Bro, what is like Vince McMahon thinking right now?
Oh, he's looking at
like,
jobs.
Oh, dude.
You know what? He's walking around like that gif you see of him just like strutting into the arena. That is him every day right now thinking about what the XFL is going to do. But now that the AAF is done, some of those guys are finding their way onto NFL rosters. A lot of them are guys who had previously played in the NFL and for one reason or another just hadn't been able to stick in the National Football League, and now they're getting another shot. But there were three of them that I picked out here because I think they're interesting names in the sense that maybe this time around they can make some sort of an impact. The first one was Rashad Ross, because he was one of the first guys to sign once that was open and ready to go. Led the AAF with 7 receiving touchdowns. Played a couple of seasons in Washington, never really got on the field consistently. In 2 seasons, had a total of 9 catches, 192 yards, and a touchdown. But now he's with the Carolina Panthers, and that's a team that, Fabs, they need wide receiver help. And like, I don't expect Rashad Ross to come out and suddenly be a number one guy in this offense. But in an offense that has targets available, I mean, they can't throw to Christian McCaffrey on every play, right? I mean, like, there's got to be something there for Rashad Ross he could possibly do.
Yeah, man. I see. I'm just And I'm just being a negative Nancy. I don't know. I'm not a believer in these AAF guys making any sort of impact from a fantasy standpoint. I think it's funny that you listed these three guys. Trent Richardson is nowhere to be found.
He's
nowhere to
side.
Be found. I mean, the Minnesota Vikings, if you look at their depth chart past Dalvin Cook, like they're going to draft a running back. I mean, no doubt about that. But I mean, Trent Richardson not going to be able to get a job. And right now you've got Cook, you've got Mike Boone and Rock Thomas and then Amir Abdullah. So there's teams out there that need running backs. And I played in an AAF league. And by the way, so if you played in one, and there probably are not a lot of people, but you know,
there are some
diehard knuckleheads like me.
There are some.
So I was tied for first and I had the most points. Eddie, you can get in this too. Okay. And I was told that I was a three-way champion. I says, listen, I had the best. No one had a better record than me, and no one scored more points than me. How do I not win that league? How do I not win it?
I just feel like everybody just gets their entry fee back, and you just disband the league. whatever your ante was to get in the league and whatever league you're in, I figure you just get your money back.
It shouldn't have been a three-way tie. It's either what Marcus said, everyone just gets their money back, or they just go by most overall scored points, which is like what I think most tiebreakers are. So it's either you win or everyone gets their money back.
Yeah, so I had some fun. I had some fun with Todd Mossberg, our beloved producer at NFL Fantasy Live, because he was the commissioner. I think I beat him down pretty good. I said, hey, listen, what is the main goal in fantasy football? To win by scoring the most points. Okay. And I said, hey, dude, no one had a better record than me and I scored the most points. So I should win. So it was a three-way tie, which is, you know, that's like kissing your sister, right? It's like whipped cream on beep, right? I want to go down as saying I was in an AAF league and I won the damn thing. And I still think I did win the damn thing. I mean, so anyways, that's just me ranting a little bit. Points, man. It's all about points in fantasy football. But you've got Charles Johnson on here, who was a stud, like in our league. I mean, that guy was a monster.
Right.
But again, he had played in the NFL before and didn't do anything.
Three seasons with Minnesota. In those three seasons, 60 catches, 834 yards, a pair of touchdowns. But he led the AAF in targets, in receptions, and receiving yards. He's with the Eagles. Now, I think...
I mean, the Eagles got it. I mean, loaded.
That's a bit of a tougher road for him to get on the field and get some opportunities. I mean, yeah. I think, you know, I think with the Panthers, Rashad Ross at least has a fighting chance because they are still looking for wide receiver help. Charles Johnson to the Eagles is, I think, going to be a tough road for him to kind of go down. Kenneth Farrow, running back. He was second in the AAF in rushing attempts, third in rushing yards. Now, mind you, third in rushing yards in the AAF was 372 yards. That's not a whole lot.
Yeah.
He did play one NFL season with the San Diego Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
And in that one season, 60 carries, 192, no touchdowns. He is with the Dolphins. Yeah. And I mean,
third on the depth chart.
Third on the depth chart, right? I mean, look,
for now,
they are probably going to draft a running back. They're going to do something to kind of shore up that backfield. And this is a team that is, the Dolphins are building for the future, right? Mm-hmm. They are not trying to win right now. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's if some injuries happen or some things break right, maybe he gets an opportunity. But yeah, you know, there's an opportunity. I guess it's just not a great one, right?
Right. Yeah, no doubt about that. Again, I go back to like, so Gilbert signed with the Browns, right? Was it Garrett Gilbert signed with the Browns? I mean, he was pretty impressive.
There were a couple of quarterbacks who signed, but I feel like with the quarterback, really is a long road
Exactly. I don't see any of these guys getting drafted in fantasy leagues unless you're, you know, one of those folks who did play in an AF league and maybe you had Charles Johnson and he helped you win a championship, Todd Mossberg. And you throw a late round flyer at him, but I don't see any of these guys. And you know, the league was fun to watch. I mean, we were having our guys call the games on NFL Network, and so it's unfortunate. We'll see. I don't know, but this is just another one of those leagues that it's almost impossible to survive.
Well,
with the big NFL there, and you know, Jason Smith, a dear friend of mine who used to be on NFL Fantasy Live, you know, he talked about like. And I don't get it, too. Like, why doesn't the NFL have some sort of developmental league, right?
They do.
I
mean, it's called college football.
I know. I mean, like,
it's called college football. I mean,
like practice squad guys, you know, like during the week, during the NFL season, like they play on like Tuesdays and Wednesday nights or something like that.
So here's the,
I don't know.
Well, here's the problem with that. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think this is like, I never meant to get into an AAF discussion, but I think it's worthwhile. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I think to have a real true developmental league, you would have to play in season. Like the problem with the AAF is
definitely,
it's hard to play a full season and then expect to be ready and play an NFL season. If that's what you're asked to do. You know, you would have to do it like baseball, where your minor league season runs at the same time. The problem with that for the NFL is they're not going to want any other product really cutting into their product. And so,
but
I think,
would it though? Like, on a, if it's an NFL product, so no one's really cutting into it,
so
and it's on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, for example. Like, I mean, you know.
I mean, maybe. I just wonder, you know, because you've got college football right now that runs certainly Saturdays. You know, I don't know. They're still doing like Tuesday night Maction on ESPN and stuff like that. I mean, so you already have a loaded schedule of football. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's hard to find a spot to get traction during the week, especially when the NFL is playing Thursday, Sunday, Monday. So that's kind of one problem. And in the offseason, obviously, we've seen kind of what the offseason issues are. The other part of it, I think from a viewership standpoint, like, I love baseball. I don't watch AAA baseball. You know.
Yeah, no. I think it would be more localized, though. So, you know, people would be going to support the team. So, say, like, you know, the Cowboys had a team. It would be somewhere in and around the area, you know, Dallas, who knows where it would be.
Mm-hmm.
But people would be going to, you know, localized people going to that game to be sort of see some of the prospects that the Cowboys, you know, might have on their roster that could potentially help them with the big club. I don't know. I mean, we've never seen it. But, I mean, we've seen the USFL, that folded. We've seen the XFL, that folded. Now the AAF is folded. The XFL's trying again.
I'm curious what the new XFL does, how that survives.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. The XFL needs there to be a work stoppage with the NFL to survive for even more than a year.
Aren't they trying to grab freshmen and sophomore college players too? They're trying to go after underclassmen, which I think is real. It's a really bold strategy, and that's that'll be the closest thing you can get to an actual developmental league, because those guys would still have to be in the college ranks to get drafted.
Yeah.
And now it's like, okay, well, I can go get paid and I can go play on a national television. I mean, not that some of them don't already, but that is the one interesting thing of that league that could help propel that. Because I think as of now, you have these players who are like, well, I'd rather just get drafted into the NFL, make the minimum salary in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Be on a practice squad roster, and then hopefully my chance will get called up if an injury happens or a trade happens. Whereas it's really hard to convince these guys to go to an AAF type league or the CFL and play
and wait for a call.
And wait for a call, exactly.
Right. Yeah. You know, I think it's always going to be sort of the conundrum of, you know, and maybe it does have to be that the NFL has to figure out a developmental league, because right now, I mean, with the situation of guys trying to go from college to the NFL, it's not like baseball where you get drafted and you know you're going to ride buses in the middle of nowhere for a while, or, you know, you're an NBA player and you're going to get sent maybe to the G League or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the expectation for guys is, I'm going to get drafted and I'm going to go to the NFL. I'm going to go to the big league right now. So I think that mindset is one. I don't know. It's interesting.
I think there's a way to do it. I don't know if the NFL would ever do it, but I think it would be cool to, like, you know, if the AAF was basically like the NFL's, you know, hey, every team had sort of a team that you could call a guy up. You got an injury. This guy already knows the offense. They run the same offense. They run the same defense. They're set up in the system. You just call them up. Hey, we've got injuries. We need to bring this guy in. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people love football. People love it. People love good football.
I just say, for entertainment value, they should bring back the Arena League just because it was entertaining more than
that was fun. So when the XFL comes along, you guys going to play fantasy XFL?
Doubtful.
I might do it. I don't know. I did AAF. I mean, I might
AAF,
do it.
Why wouldn't you do
it? Yeah, I might do it.
The thing with me is, like, if they are going to go and poach these freshman and sophomore players who I watch on Saturdays, and I'm like, oh, I know that guy. The more familiar I am with the league will make it easier for me to play, because I know a little bit about them. So I think I am really intrigued by what the XFL can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's Vince McMahon. And I love Vince. I love the WWE. Everybody knows it, you know, that listens to the show. I got a lot of friends in WWE. I just feel like it's ego, man. I think Vince is like, you know, the XFL, it succeeded in a lot of ways. And some of the things that the XFL did, the NFL does still to this day. But I think it's ego, man. I think he just wants to prove that he can run a league that can succeed right alongside the NFL. Maybe not right alongside, but it wouldn't be a league that folds after a year. I just I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know if I see it happen.
Well,
I don't know.
At least, I mean, if anything else, I'm sure they are closely watching what went right and what went wrong from the AAF, just to try to avoid some of that stuff.
On a positive note for the NFL, though, I mean, we saw in a release yesterday from the NFL and NFLPA that they've already started discussions on a new CBA, and we need that to happen. I mean, I get it. We've got a couple more years. I believe it ends after the 2020 season, the current CBA, but it would just be a disaster if there was another work stoppage, man. Everybody loves the NFL. I get it. The players want, you know, more guaranteed money, and hopefully there's going to be some negotiations, some positive negotiations, but it's 2019. At least they're starting right now.
They're starting now, That's good. We'll see what happens there. All right, back to actual fantasy-related type football. Rookies to watch. I know you and Graham have kind of talked about this a little bit. Yep. This week we will pivot to the wide receivers, and this is a pretty deep group. At least it's a very interesting group. And so we picked out five guys kind of near the top of that group that are going to be interesting with get some takes on where might be good fits for these guys. So Marquise Brown is, look, you can go around who's the number one. He's kind of been maybe the consensus guy at the top of this class.
I would say it's either him or DK
Metcalf, right? So, but let's start with Marquise Brown, right? Kind of a smaller, speedier guy. You know, likely the first wide receiver off the board, either him, like I said, him or DK Metcalf. Thoughts? Where would you like to see a guy like Marquise Brown land?
So when you look at the first round, there are a lot of teams that need a wide receiver, dude. I mean, like, you could go down the list, okay? The Jaguars could use a number one. The Bills, and I get it, they made a bunch of moves. They still don't have a number one.
Nope.
Green Bay has been rumored to potentially be in the market for a wide receiver, although they drafted three last year. The Redskins need a number one wide receiver. The Titans could use a complement to Corey Davis. Seattle could use another wide receiver. I mean, Houston, like, the list goes on and on and on. The Ravens, the Colts. So I did the show yesterday. Charlie Casserly had Hollywood going to the Ravens. And any wide receiver that goes to the Ravens, especially a first-round wide receiver, is going to have fantasy value. Why? Because the Ravens have – their number one wide receiver right now is Willie Snead. He's not a number one wide receiver. So that receiver is going to have some value, but keep in mind this is an offense that when Lamar Jackson took over, they were running the ball 64% of the time. But you can't be that one-dimensional in the NFL. You'll get killed.
Right.
Yeah, defensive coordinators are smart in this league. So anybody that goes to the Ravens is going to get a little boost from a fantasy perspective. So, but, you know, Hollywood, everyone talks about him being comparable to DeSean Jackson. And I saw Graham tweet out something yesterday. It had something to do with the size. I mean, he's 5'9".
Right. He's a small guy.
He's not a big dude. I remember I interviewed DeSean Jackson years ago, and I'm not a big dude, obviously. Okay. I'm like 5'8". No jokes. I round up, Eddie. And DeSean Jackson won much taller than me, dude. I mean, he won much taller than me. So he's not a big dude. He's got dependable hands. Pro Football Focus said he had caught all but 5 of 90 catchable passes last season. So
wow,
good hands, and a player he's a slot receiver predominantly. And this is a guy who can make plays. You know, he can make plays. Actually, you know what? That was A.J. Brown, the catchable passes. I just mixed that up. But
okay.
But Hollywood Brown, 17 broken tackles last season. So despite his size, he's a playmaker.
I was looking at it. I don't know how this would happen without some sort of trade or something, or Marquise Brown falling quite a bit. But Detroit would be an interesting landing spot for him right there. I mean, with Marvin Jones and Kenny Galladay on the outside, with him losing Golden Tate, which was kind of a
Danny Amendola.
Putting him in the slot, you know, you've got hopefully with Kerryon Johnson back and healthy back there in the backfield. You know, I think he'd be an interesting fit there. I don't know how it happens. Like I said, I think the Lions either have to somehow trade up into the, you know, either trade down to the, you know, later, because I don't think they're going to take him at 8. It just doesn't make sense. So either they trade down and try to take him later in the first round, or they trade back up somehow to get late into the first round, or somehow, you know, Marquise Brown ends up falling until the second round or something like that. But man, that'd be an interesting fit there, and
yeah,
kind of get that offense going again.
Yep.
DK Metcalf, who after his combine performance, people were calling him Dark Knight Metcalf because he was like a superhero with what he.
Although it was like he had, you know, he had the great 40 time. He ran a 4.340,
something like that.
But then there was other.
The three cone was not great.
I mean, there was a couple of other drills that he was like worse than Tom Brady.
Yeah, the three cone was not great, but like his 40 time was great. His vertical leap was great. I think he had like a really great bench press. So like something,
yeah,
he
dude,
was like phenomenal,
right?
And something's not so much.
He's kind of a raw, like, boom or bust kind of player.
Right.
Right? I mean, like, he could potentially come in and blow the NFL up, or he could be a bust. Yeah. He missed time in college. He was banged up last year, only played 7 games, had 5 touchdowns. But, again, he's going to be a first-round pick. There's no shortage of teams, as I mentioned, that need a wide receiver in the first round. So I would think he's probably going to go in the first round. Don't know if he's going to be the first wide receiver to go in the first round. But I think he has the biggest upside of anybody in the class.
I'd like him in Buffalo. Again, I don't know how this works because, again, the Bills picking so high, they're not going to take him where they are drafting.
I don't know. Yeah,
nine.
I don't know that he's a top 10 pick.
Yeah, he's not gonna get drafted.
I've seen some mock drafts where, like, the Jaguars have taken him, the Bills have taken him. I don't know if he's a top 10
pick. But I think with his straight line speed, his ability to get deep, and you pair him with Josh Allen and that big arm – I think that's potentially really interesting there. You mentioned, I think Washington has an interest in him. They could certainly use some wide receiver help. I think
Charlie Cashley has him going to Tennessee.
That would be interesting too. I don't know.
Not a good fantasy fit though.
I just feel like everything that goes to Tennessee just sort of dies. Just, I don't know. Everything about that offense, just, it's oatmeal. It's fine.
Just give the ball to Derrick Henry 300 times.
Like, you're just not excited about it. It's just oatmeal. A.J. Brown, the other Brown in this draft who had a lot of run.
I got him mixed up like an idiot.
I've seen the Giants have some interest in him. I don't know if that gets Eddie excited back there. A.J. Brown going to the New York football Giants. I've seen Indy, supposedly, with a little bit of interest, but I feel like they kind of have their wide receiver slots locked up.
Right, but Funchess is only on a one-year deal.
True.
So Charlie Cashley has the Colts taking him. You put A.J. Brown in Indianapolis, and again, mistakenly, it was A.J. who caught all but 5 of 90 catchable passes last season. You put him with the Colts, you get Andrew Luck's value rising a little bit, and his Dynasty League value would be tremendous. Maybe not his redraft value because, as you mentioned, you've got T.Y. there, you've got Funchess, you've got Ebron, assuming Jack Doyle is going to be back to 100%. So there's a lot of options there, but long-term with the Colts, he can make an impact.
Maybe Jacksonville. I mean, they're another team that, like, they have like 17 wide receivers, it feels like, and like we're still waiting for one of them to kind of assert himself in that offense. So maybe A.J. Brown there. N'Keal Harry, who's a guy that I love. I mean, maybe because I watch a lot of Pac-12 football, but I loved watching him at Arizona State.
You watched that catch that he made against your Trojans.
Everybody made catches against the Trojans.
But that one was sick. That was,
that
like,
was ridiculous.
That was like OBJ-esque.
That was ridiculous that he made against this.
Yeah, I mean, that was unreal. That was like Spider-Man, dude.
But so I'm thinking, why not keep him in the Valley of the Sun? Keep him there in the area. Cardinals, go get him. I mean, they could use some wide receiver help. Go get this guy and whoever your quarterback's going to be. I mean, probably Kyler Murray. Mm-hmm. If it somehow is still Josh Rosen, whatever. Get your quarterback some help and get them. You know, Harry is kind of a raw talent right now, but he is a guy who is improving. He's getting better. He comes with the stamp of approval from Herm Edwards, who, you know, Herm can be a little bit nutty sometimes in his press conferences, but the guy knows NFL talent. He coached on the NFL level. He says good things about N'Keal Harry, and I think the Cardinals could do well to kind of add him to that roster and kind of start rebuilding that offense a little bit.
Yeah, I like him. I had him second among my wide receivers behind Metcalf because I think Metcalf has a bigger upside, although the downside is pretty big too. But N'Keal Harry, this dude was a tackle-breaking machine, okay? Last year, he produced 515 yards after the catch, and he only had 1,088. I mean, he's a big, strong dude. I mean, a little bit like Metcalf. I mean, he's a physical specimen, clearly athletic. I mean, that catch that he made against the Trojans, if you haven't seen it, go look at it. It's awesome. The Redskins, again, would be a good fit with just Doxson, Richardson, and Quinn there. But how about a sleeper team at the end of the first round? Patriots.
Yeah.
You're
right.
You want to talk about a guy whose value would go up, right? You've got Julian Edelman. Mm-hmm. Who else you got?
I mean,
you got Harris over there, right? I mean, you've got Dorsett. I mean, what do you got?
And now with Gronk retired,
right?
You've opened up a whole lot of targets in that offense.
Nikhil, boy, that would be fun. I get it. Tom Brady, you know, not the same guy who's going to give you, 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns. But still, I mean, you could do a hell of a lot worse than catching the ball from the greatest quarterback to ever play the position. So that would be an ideal landing spot for him. But I think he could end up being in – I talked to an NFL DB on this, and he told me he thinks that Harry's the best wide receiver in this class. So I wouldn't be surprised if that was the guy who emerged as the best fantasy wide receiver from 2019.
I think he has a really high ceiling just because he's still raw and he's still kind of honing his craft. And so if he can put it all together, I think he's at a really, really high ceiling.
Yep.
Last one, Hakeem Butler, who's another guy who's getting a whole lot of attention lately. I mean, just
in
a physical,
fantasy, it's unreal.
A physical specimen. He's a guy who's getting a whole lot of attention right now. And he's a guy who maybe doesn't have a long history of production necessarily at the college level, but just people love his raw gifts, his natural ability.
Graham loves him.
I know Graham loves him. I know a lot of draft Twitter loves
him. I have seen some of our fantasy analyst friends out there on Twitter posting.
Draft Twitter loves Hakeem Butler.
They have him. I've seen him as high as the number one fantasy rookie in dynasty leagues.
Yeah.
Number one.
Which I think one speaks to how the hype is going. It also speaks to the fact that this is a year where there are no clear-cut number one dynasty.
I mean, you know me. I'm going Josh Jacobs. So big dude. He's like 6'5", 227. He averaged 22 yards a catch. And he's not like just a possession receiver because, I mean, yards after catch. I mean, he's a nut. I mean, the guy has got physical gifts. But as Lance Zierlein pointed out to me yesterday, it's 17 drops in his last two seasons at college.
Yeah.
You got to catch the damn ball. And Lance kind of poo-pooed it a little bit. He was like, I mean, yeah, he's a nice player, but he doesn't see why all this hype is starting to build around him.
Because this is what happens when you have 6 weeks between the combine and the draft. Is that some point, every player is going to get – because – look, and I love all our fantasy friends out there, and it is fun kind of conversing with all you guys. But we also get to a point where everybody has written about every single player. So by the time we get to draft day, everybody's got a little bit of
hype. Right. So Butler, I don't know if he's a first-round pick, though. I don't think he's going in the first round.
No.
So I would say he's a second-round pick, and I would think he'd be a nice fit for the Niners.
That'd be interesting because
they
could use a big kind of physical receiver like that.
Their number one is Pettis right now.
It's Pettis who
Pettis is a number one.
He's not a physical guy. He's a speed guy, certainly. Yeah. Marquise Goodwin, another speed guy who, hopefully he can stay healthy and stay on the field.
Right. Garcon is gone.
Guy, which
so
that just never worked out the way they wanted it to.
Yeah.
So that'd be interesting.
Yeah. But I think he's certainly a player to watch in the draft. And, if you're not paying too much attention to some of the wide receivers in this class, Butler is certainly a name to watch and see where he goes. Because fantasy analysts across social media are just gaga over this.
Oh, yeah. No,
gaga.
I can't scroll Twitter without seeing, at least once every couple of days, some film clip of Hakeem Butler somewhere.
Yeah. I try to take that kind of stuff with a grain of salt. Like, there's dudes that I'm excited about.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm excited about Kyler Murray. I'm excited about him.
I will say there are, look, when you do this for a while, you kind of figure out who, you find guys whose opinion you trust. And I think it's worth just kind of maybe not necessarily buying into the hype, but at least looking at the guy's skill set, what he does good and what he does poorly, and then trying to figure out how that.
Yeah, doing stuff at the combine and in college is a lot different than doing it in the NFL. And if we've learned one thing, Marcus and Edward, over the last decade, it's been really hard for NFL teams to scout wide receivers correctly. Because there's been a ton of busts.
The last three years or so, first round wide receivers have not done well. And I can't figure out why. We went from having that phenomenal, the OBJ year.
That was 2014?
I think
2014?
So. That year, you had all these first round guys who just went nuts. And since then, we've kind of struggled to find first round guys who could do the same thing. So we'll see. We'll see. So I don't have this on the rundown, but this is our last podcast before Game of Thrones season 8 begins.
Oh my gosh.
It starts on Sunday, guys. I mean, this is real. This is live. So I know you guys talked about it a little bit when I was away, but man, I don't even know what to do about this. I'm so excited. I'll say this. I have this is where I've put in time, right? Because, you know, when you're in a relationship, there are things you have to do that you don't necessarily want to do, but you do it to kind of keep peace. This reason, this Sunday and these next few weeks, this is why I've sat through so many episodes of Real Housewives, if you name it. Right? I have watched a lot of Real Housewives of this and that so that, like, I can sit down and watch Game of Thrones and not have to argue or have a battle
dude,
over it.
Listen, I'm right. So, because my girlfriend is not into sports at all. Like, she'll go to see the Yankees with me or she'll go to WWE, but she's not into sports at all. Mm-hmm. So there's certain things that you got to give up. If you want to be happy,
keep peace,
right? So, like, I haven't watched a whole lot of basketball in the last 4 years, right? And yesterday was our 4 year anniversary. I haven't watched a lot of basketball in the last 4 years. I won't give up football, obviously, because it's my career. I won't give up the Yankees. I won't give up wrestling. But there are certain things that you need to give up. And on the flip side, as Marcus said, like, the stuff that my girlfriend likes to watch, and some of it's actually not that bad. 90 Day Fiancé. I don't know if you've ever
I've heard about this show.
Oh, my gosh.
I've heard of this show.
It is a train wreck. It's a train wreck because my girlfriend is from Ukraine. Mm-hmm. She's been here like 10, 11 years now. That show, I mean, sometimes sitting through that is like, oh, it's awful. Luckily, and I don't know if your girlfriend, I'm guessing she's into Game of Thrones.
She's never watched it. She said she watched it. Because she's not into like fantasy or sci-fi. She said she watched one episode. She watched 10 minutes. There was a dragon. She's like, I'm out. Oh. And that was it.
Yeah, luckily Anna's into it. She digs Game of Thrones, so that's good. So I watched the entire last season already. Mm-hmm. You know, been going online looking at some potential scenarios that people have concocted. Last week, Evan Engram came on and said that he wondered if maybe Hodor was going to come back as a White Walker.
Oh.
Right? That I was like,
I don't know
how
I feel about that.
I don't know. That would
be kind of sad about that.
That piqued my interest. We talked about whether or not I can't remember the dragon names. You know these Eddies, but like the dragon who's now the White Walker dragon maybe turns back
Viserion
somehow or another. Right. But I mean you're the guy to ask.
Hey, I'm the one
this
weirdo.
Is your world,
I'm the
bro.
One weirdo who has not done any like rewatches or
I haven't done any no actually I
yeah, yeah, but you,
I
haven't you read all the books. I have, yeah, like so I'm, mean, I'm you know
I have one request. It's a simple request, and you guys who have watched every season know this. Usually the first episode is like kind of like, all right, we're back. Like, this is what's going on. It's like a super slow pace. Like, I just really want this one because it only six, just hit the ground running.
I think they're going to jump into
you
it.
You think so?
I think so.
I really hope they do.
Because this is the final season. I mean, they've set it up. Like, I don't know how many more chess moves they can make. Like, right. Let's fight. Let's do right this yeah. right now. So
yep. you got Game of Thrones, and then is it the following week you've got Endgame?
The 26th,
which is the
two weeks.
Yeah, so we have it'd be a third Game of Thrones episode, which some people have said is one of the battle episodes already. I think they've linked it up. They said that day you're gonna have like a ton of just loss that day because you have like the Night King and then you have Thanos. That's
you know what we should do?
Heck of a weekend.
I mean, I get it. Like, it's this week. We should do some like remember Damashek did like the Game of Thrones fantasy football league or fantasy football fantasy league. We should like do something like that. Like, we should each like draft a bunch of players. Have a little right.
So, you know, see who survives.
Right. Yeah. Like, see you know which ones survive. May I have a little fun with that?
Yeah. We have to, I'm definitely. See if we put together real quick though, because yeah. it's Wednesday.
Yeah.
So
I know. Yeah.
We got to do it soon. So
I'll send out the email. We'll do like a slow email draft.
There you go.
So here we'll construct a scoring system.
There it is. So that's it. We're done. That's it. Appreciate you guys listening. As always, tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, the problem with the rat race is that if you win, you're still a rat. See you next week.